The boys were called edgy. Told they'd never make it past 5 episodes. Here those podcast jerks are. Back for season 2. The Boys in the Woods podcast. The show your mother warned you about. And that your dad is hiding in the basement listening to. Get ready for the Boys in the Woods podcast.
Welcome back, Charles. As everybody can see that's watching, knows that it is bright outside. Welcome back to the show, Mr. Brightside.
Hey, man, listen, springtime, summertime's coming. The sun's up until 10, 11 o'clock p.m. Shit's bright. So we're here. We're taking the waves. We're taking the heat. We're shining bright. I'm hoping these new lights tan this ass. The golf course, dude, I'm telling you, I'm a Greek god in the summer.
But we weren't two of the 98 that went blind. That's not why we're wearing sunglasses.
No, we were not two of the 98 solar eclipsers who went blind. I'm really excited for those numbers to come out.
I have the numbers.
I'm not even shocked. Even the wife was like,
let's get right into it. It's just a quick little fact.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, I have it written down.
That's awesome.
Right here. All right. I binged. How many people go blind during an eclipse? It's important to keep in mind, however, the permanent eye damage from the eclipse is very rare. According to the American Astronomical Society, the group estimates that last solar eclipse in 2017 estimated 100 cases and an estimated 150 million viewers. Like I said, 100 people are dumber than shit when they went blind.
Dude, but it's true. The wife at work was watching somebody, and I'll keep this fresh because who knows, but the wife at work was watching somebody outside.
Were they just staring up there thinking they were going to see?
Glasses and all, just.
Oh, my God.
And then, like, trying to, with the phone, and I'm like, damn. And the person was old enough that I understand why they're wearing glasses,
too. But you were in the inside of your head, she's probably like, Darwin? Darwin? Darwin?
Oh, my God. She doesn't do well with stupid either. It's one of the things that I just love about her.
Here's the thing. Isn't there something in school where there's like a bunch of rules that are like one of them is don't stare at the sun,
It's not a conspiracy. It's not like there's some aliens up there that don't want you to see it.
No. They're not going to put laser beams down at your fucking eyeballs. No, it's not going to happen this way.
Hey, watch out for the aliens, man. I don't know. The solar eclipse to me was cool. At 35, I've seen a few now. I haven't been in
the annual eclipses.
I haven't been in that path of totality ever. And watching it on TV, which I have multiple times now, but watching it on TV, it's cool. But there's just like this third of the percentage of people that are out there like, the vibrations I'm feeling right now are unlike anything I can explain. And I'm like, that's called mushrooms. Like, what do you mean? What are you going on the news with mind-altering drugs watching a solar eclipse for? Holy shit, close your eyes. Can you touch the fucking Leaning Tower of Pizza?
When they interviewed some of those people, you know what it reminded me of? The lady down south that had witnessed like the weird neighbor that started their house on fire. And he's like, I saw him start it. And then he disappeared. And she was like all squirrely and stuff. You know what I mean? Like all over the place.
Well, yes. I mean, it was like people were screaming, like at the top of their lungs, screaming. Like,
it's excited.
Darkness happens every fucking day. Like, even in the middle of the day, check this out. Rain clouds come in, boom, it gets dark and cool. It's not like it was really anything different. Now, okay, it was cool. But you can't make me believe that it's taking acid on a top of a shroom mushroom while at a fucking Ziggy Top concert or some shit. Like, that, it just makes no sense to me.
Ziggy Marley?
Dude, it's like...
Do you want to know what's even worse?
It's the fucking moon went in front of the sun, like Jesus.
Right, those are the same people, Charles, that if a tornado happened and they lived somewhere where there's not tornadoes ever, let's just say in the mountains of Alaska, these people would stare at it and probably wait for it to come right at them and not even move. Those are the type of people that are going to be amazed by it.
Yeah. Look how beautiful the tornado is.
Yeah, it's or like the fucking people at Yellowstone trying to pet the goddamn bison and water buffalo and
Or the people that are literally in boats. Watch these YouTube videos, and these people are in boats with GoPros, and they're up there taking videos of the lightning. I'm like, you're dumber than shit. Get back to land, you dummy.
Just like the people in canoes protesting oil rigs.
Yeah.
What the hell do you think those canoes are made out of? Petrol. Anything. Where do you think that petrol comes from? That fucking oil rig. What are you doing? Or like the idiots who were blocking these trucks and they end up being milk trucks. What are you doing, man?
I think years ago, there was also one years ago with these people that were protesting drugs, and they were like hippies, and they were like hardcore drugs. They're protesting, but they were also against marijuana. But yet they looked into them and they're like, we use all natural, we use hemp. And I'm like, did you really just say this? Did you just say you use hemp and you're protesting marijuana and illegal drugs?
One of my favorite people of all time was that guy who went on the news and was like, what'd you see? And he's like, I didn't really see nothing but fuck her in the pussy. he did like five fucking times, dude.
What about the guy that won the lottery or bought the lottery ticket? Remember then they had that $1 million, $1 billion lottery? What you gonna do if you win? Hookers and cocaine. Live on TV.
Those people are real, man. I like real. Yeah. I like real, right? Get out of here. You were not sitting there at the eclipse screaming and crying. What the hell? What the? You might as well have painted your face yellow, because you can't really paint it any other color now. You're racist if you do.
What cartoon was that? Chicken Run, where they're like, the sky is falling. Or no, Meatballs.
Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. It happened to Chicken Run, too, I'm pretty sure.
Chicken Run, yeah.
Yeah. I think there was a small.
I don't know. Whatever. I don't watch cartoons. I catch a few of these things.
Your attitude on national television has got us in here talking about Disney cartoons from the 90s. That's where you went with it.
Pixar, Disney. It's cool. It's cool that you guys have let us into this crazy trip.
Yeah. The eclipse was cool. Whatever. Just let people know you're on drugs. I guess that's all I'm asking. I guess it's the bottom line, right? Like, you can look at the crowd and go, drugs should be on drugs. Never met drugs before in your life. And that shouldn't be okay. on drugs.
The sad thing is the one that should be on drugs is probably going to be the one that's arrested at the end of the night, too.
Yeah. Drugs or Jesus. Find one of the two.
Yeah.
they'll help you out. And we're only calling it drugs because the United States government calls it drugs.
Yeah.
Arguably, I think alcohol and gasoline is way worse.
Right. Lots of people die. Only if you don't live in Oregon, because apparently they just don't let everything go.
Yeah, I heard actually that they're reverting a lot of those now.
Oh, they're going back.
I heard that experiment is over.
They thought that was they realized that was probably a bad idea.
I don't know. Sometimes when I get confused, I just think about this real quick. I think, you know what? Rome built roads right, and we think we can do it better. That's all that fucking matters, right? If you're out there listening, if you're ever confused by something, just look at America and go, we thought we could build roads better.
Those people that, like you and me, that buy something from IKEA and we just throw the fucking instructions away.
Yeah.
And we have no idea.
Yeah, the wife has no idea. And she always comes by and goes, what's this piece for? And I always go, they always put extra in the fucking box.
Don't eat it. Fucking toss it. Get rid of it before she sees it, because if she sees it, she's going to try to put it somewhere.
Oh, my God. A little Bobette in there. And she gets, it's so funny. I've 30, 40 minutes sometimes on a really big project.
What's this doll? I checked every hole. It doesn't fit any of them. We don't need it. Throw it away. Matter. Toss it.
2 hours. 2 hours. I'm never building one of those again. Why? Fucking instructions.
I just put one of them cat towers together for the cat. And
those are fucking ridiculous. I had three extra pieces.
Yeah.
I had a couple pieces. Whatever. Where the fuck is he supposed to go?
Cat seems fine. Yeah. It hasn't fallen over yet. So. It did almost fall into the window. It didn't know how far it could lean forward because she pulled it away from the wall. And it almost fell, and she was thinking it was going to fall because it was leaning forward. I'm like, she'll get used to it. Get out of it. She's not in my window anymore now. It's okay.
Well, talking about poorly constructed pieces, let's go ahead and personally discuss the Iowa-South Carolina game, and let's talk about how poorly constructed Iowa is, how fantastic Caitlin Clark is. Think of it this way. Caitlin Clark basically took high school students to the NCAA Women's Championship, and 5 years ago, it's women's basketball. But today, it's more exciting than men's. It's more expensive than men's. It's pushing harder than men's. Let's see what the WNBA does.
But. Do you want me to get into something with you? Absolutely. One of the pieces that I have at the bottom down here It did not pull this banner up here, but the women's NCAA championship beat the men as far as numbers go.
Yeah, yeah, because I know the women's was like 18-7.
Yeah.
But that's average. That wasn't the peak. I think peak was like 21 or 22. The women's college basketball game, that women's college championship game, beat all but four NCAA men's football games. And, of course, Michigan was part of three of the four.
That's insane. That's insane.
It's crazy.
That's good. And that's fantastic because we brought this up yesterday on the show. And one of the things that's on here, yes, we – the reason why Iowa put together such a crap team, you said it earlier when you talked about this. They didn't do anything to capitalize on getting better.
No, they didn't.
And they, maybe that's just because they can't because they're Iowa. But you have a great coach. I don't understand.
Protect yourself and your PC with NordVPN. Proudly protecting the Boys in the Woods podcast from haters since 2023.
You had a great coach. You had Caitlin Clark. And you have NIL Collective. You have an unregulated NIL collective. You can't tell me that you could not have gone to one of those women NCAA college athletes in the transfer portal and picked one of them up for 70, 80K. You would have done it for football in a fucking heartbeat. So the most explosive team that school has had in, what, two decades?
Who wouldn't have wanted to play with Caitlin Clark?
I mean, there was so many.
I think we know a few players, but those were her competition on other teams. But
wow, look how bright I am right now.
Yeah, it's that sun. See, that's exactly why you need them glasses on.
Holy shit, dude. Yeah, can you please cut back camera? Thank you. But I was hearing. Oh, whoa! Now it looks like I'm definitely from the Weekend of Bernie's. But I was listening a little bit to excuses on why Iowa didn't, like, and it wasn't Iowa coming out. These were other analysts, other experts from around the league. And they were more or less saying that Caitlin Clark's greatness on one side of the conversation, right? Caitlin Clark's greatness stopped Iowa's ability to recruit players because people felt less.
She would have overshadowed everybody. Yes, yeah. That's one of the deals.
Well, yeah. But teams win championships, players win awards. So I don't want that player anyways. But it appears that a few of these transfer players did well enough on other teams with other superstars that it would have been just fine.
Yeah. She wasn't about herself. She would pass the ball. It's not like you wouldn't have had opportunities.
The championship game in its own right, the reason they started getting in trouble is because Caitlin Clark tried to get her teammates involved and her teammates were trash.
I said that she needs to just try to take the game over. She could have just went to the lane. But the problem was they ran into a buzzsaw, which was
South Carolina.
And
thank you for bringing that up. Yes, and we've talked to Iowa now. Let's bump over to the champions, South Carolina. I agree.
Staley had put together a team that was built to win. You saw it last year. They got knocked out by Iowa in the Final Four.
Yeah.
And they almost did it last year. Had they not lost to Iowa, they probably would have went back-to-back. Just like UConn did.
I agree.
For the men.
You needed another bad night. Well, no, that was, again, too, another situation where you're looking at Purdue. We'll jump to that in a second. I do want to give South Carolina their bet. Yeah, they were a dominant basketball team. And watching it from the men's point of view, watching a women's game, there was a lot of questionable moments. The camping in the lane, but apparently that's a thing.
I made the thing about the camping in the lane thing because it was 100% true. But that's just the way that they allow college athletes. Because they did the same thing with Edie. It's
even with him, if you looked at Edie wrong, you had a penalty called on you. So that was
apparently that guy did in the Final Four did pick up his first foul within 27 seconds of the freaking first half. So yeah, you were right about that. The meme going around saying, "Yeah, he sneezed, so he got his first foul on Edie already."
Yeah, it's like Angel Hernandez calling
apparently
balls
the
and
Yankee
strikes.
One. Yeah, I saw the Phantom call, eh?
Yeah,
on the Yankees.
God. It was terrible. Actually it just happened again today on the Tigers. Spencer Torkelson, like,
why
had
is
the
this?
Bat. Had the bat here, and the pitch came in, and he went like this. And I'm telling you, dude, the bat did not go past his shoulder.
And he called
him a fucking strike. And A.J. Hinch comes out and goes, yo, and he's strike. He swung. Strike. He swung. Let's go. Play ball. And just got back and started playing ball. When is it? Oh, my God.
How is that guy allowed to be an umpire in baseball? God. He's the worst. Everybody doesn't like – nobody likes him. Nobody likes him.
We'll get to that in a second. Don Staley – I love what you're doing in South Carolina. It's fantastic. It doesn't matter. my opinion, yada, yada, yada. But it's wonderful to watch. I think she needs to go anywhere to prove anything at all.
I don't know.
I think she's on a level with Pat Summitt, approaching those talks with Gino Auriemma.
I don't think she's going to break that Geno's record because it's like 100 and some games. But what do they have? They started over. They're 37, 38, no. So, they're starting anew.
She is on a path that, please, if you're out there, just enjoy the show. Because this is one of those greatness moments, right, where we talk about Pat Summitt now, but a lot of you probably don't think about Pat Summitt at all. And that's not because of anything at all other than she's not as much of an everyday household name as she was back then.
Right.
But you're watching this happen, and not everybody's a South Carolina fan, but dear God, there are a lot of basketball fans, and you should definitely appreciate what Coach Stanley
that
is doing.
By what we said earlier about the stats, about the viewership, that just tells you right there, people are interested. It's absolutely not just women. It's everybody. Everybody loves what's going on in sports. I love
what South Carolina is doing down there. But moving now to UConn and Purdue, that championship game, UConn again, what was that, 10, 11, or 12 straight wins by double digits in the tournament. Ended up being 11.
Give them credit.
Congratulations, UConn. They were the much better team. And indubitably, they had a five-star freshman starting. That dude is a fucking boss, man. And it's funny. It was 1 and 2, vice versa, on that. That was a great call out, a great pickup on that. But my biggest problem with Purdue is the same problem I have with Iowa. How did you not go out in the fucking transfer portal and pick up a point guard or a defensive small forward for to help Zach Edey? He came back to you. He didn't have to. Nobody does. He played 4 years at Purdue. Nobody does. And you gave him nothing.
Yeah. Do you want me to get into the worst part about Edey?
Yeah.
All right. We talked about this. All right. So this is what I found on Zach Edey. Here's the deal. Zach Edey was the 33rd ranked player in his class. Mm-hmm. Not 33rd ranked player in his class in the state of Florida. Because he was from Canada and he played AAU ball in Florida. All right.
Yeah.
Even more so, he was only a 3-star. Even more so, he was the 75th ranked center in his class. 75th ranked center in his class. Not player, center.
Yeah.
That's insane what he did at Iowa, what he became. So if anybody wants to blow smoke at him, his first season, 28 games, 8.7 points as a freshman. Next year, he got better, 14-4 and 7.7. And then after that, he got better with the footwork. He got better with the defense. He became a better player.
He was the best player in the tournament this year.
Yeah. He might have been the best player in college basketball for 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
Arguably. But you need a team.
Absolutely. It's something that I've started to preach. I know that we've started to preach it often. Let me back up real quick. Sunshine up bright. That's upsetting. But, it's back again. I just look like powder. Give me a spoon. I'll bring all the fucking metal to the room. Holy shit. There it goes.
Melted down.
Go ahead. Finish it. ADHD and my anger kicked.
Oh, he's fine. His career at Iowa is... Purdue. Sorry, we got the Caitlin Clark line going on. His career at Purdue is never going to be tainted. Yeah. It's never going to be tainted. Same as hers at Iowa.
You pulled a stat chart in the group, dude. It was ridiculous. It was insane.
That stat chart.
The split between her and everyone else.
I didn't appreciate Paul's negativity towards her not being the greatest of all time. There is absolutely no question in my mind. That's my personal opinion. But nobody had seasons like she did. She blew everybody away. Nobody could guard her. There wasn't one player in college basketball who could guard her. And I tell you what, the way she can move her handles, there probably isn't anybody that ever could. She's as fast as any player that's ever played the game.
She handles the ball like Skylar Diggins handled the ball in Notre Dame for you women basketball fans.
I think she led college basketball in assists.
Yeah.
And was up there. She was even a good rebounder.
I'm trying to think of somebody to in the men's ball to put her to, and the names that are the flashiness right now. Now, forgive me for this, but I'm not saying this is, but her ability to pass is like Iverson-esque, Irie-esque, but her ability to shoot for the men out there, her ability to shoot is like Curry-esque. So you're right. Getting this hybrid player who is not those players, but she is her own player, right? And with Zach Edey now, him in the NBA is going to be fun because listening to everyone, his game isn't going to transition over to the NBA. His game is post and hook. I can think of one player who did that really well. And then I can think of a hell of a lot of players who made a really good career in the NBA doing exactly that. Rebounding the ball, playing good defense, and having a hook shot that is unguardable.
I can tell you one player off the top of my head that was even bigger than him and was way less mobile. Yao Ming.
Yeah. Yao Ming.
Yao Ming could not. He couldn't run up the court. Right. But now, guess what? He got on the ball down low. It was money, 80%.
Yeah. And here's the kicker with this too, right? He's probably not going to go in the top five. And glad.
He probably is going to go at the end of the back end of the first round, if anything.
And I'm very glad because that means he's going to go to a team with shooters. You're not going to, the hook shot is going to draw the double team. It's going to draw the double team. So when Edey passes out at this point, his assist numbers are going to go from 4.5-ish to 8. Because he's passing it now to not NBA or not Iowa basketball players who are probably very good, but are going to end up like being assistant coaches or owning a fucking used car lot somewhere.
Exactly.
We're talking about actual basketball players now. So I think Zach Edey is going to do just fine. He plays defense. He's a big body down low. He can rebound. He can block. And he's got a hook shot. Now, listening to his stats from you, tells me that he's a learner of the game. That means that he doesn't just play basketball for a couple of hours. Basketball is his life. And when when you find a player whose basketball is their life, you've just found a player who plays in the NBA for 12 to 20 years. And is he going to be a superstar?
Who knows? Not. You don't know.
Who knows?
Who knows? Maybe he ends up being like just a 14 and 10. Maybe he's a double guy. That's a really good role player for a team. You need.
Has to do with people are still afraid of Greg Odom. I think a lot of it has to do with that, which is wild to me that you're going to be taking risks on Beanstalks. Jesus, his name is right there, Victor
Wembanyama. Here's the thing: I didn't realize Edey's 7'3" and he's 300. He's not a little guy. He's not.
He made Baby Shaq look like a small forward.
Yeah, he looked little. But, I mean, in the NBA, there's going to be a couple of – you got Embiid.
7'3"?
7-footers, yeah.
Yeah, there's not many. And with a hook shot
there's not many good ones, yeah.
With a hook shot like him? Whoo! You think Bol Bol's going to guard Edey? You think Victor Wembanyama is going to guard Edey? I'm watching Victor make you pop. I'm watching Edey make you pop up and slide underneath your armpit. That's crazy to me. That's NBA moves, right? Like
up and under.
College basketball players. I'm going to try and muscle it through you. I've got more pride than talent.
Yeah.
Not him. It was fun to watch. So it'll be exciting to see. But again, losing teams had all the stories. Moving to UConn, Dan Hurley, one of the greatest basketball coaches. I said I didn't know. That comment could not bite me in the ass any harder than it has lately.
I reached out to him a while ago, and it went unread. And I was like, oh, man, I would just like for him to read that comment that I had. It was pretty good. It was about the podcast really appreciates him as a coach, and we'd love to have him on. And that was during the season when they weren't. I think they were like 17.
Understandable, though. That type of coach, he doesn't even ask what's for dinner.
Mm-mm.
He comes home and either eats or makes a sandwich and goes and reads basketball, right? He's watching tape. He's learning he's reading up on his guys. He's listening to the feedback. He's getting into practice the next day and putting his young men in the best position to succeed. And it showed magically.
Speaking of coaches, Charles, we'll segue right into this one. Calipari has announced that he is leaving after 15 years, Kentucky. Yeah. And you speculated. Charles is breaking this right now. He broke it the other day. He told us personally on the podcast he believes that Patino is a front runner.
I do. I think now there's two in front of Patino in mind. Jay, and I believe he's going to stay retired.
But he would, yeah, exactly. You'd have to come out of retirement, have to announce that he's coming out of retirement for him to be an option.
Donovan, I can't think of his last name, but I don't think he wants to leave the, I don't think he wants to come back to college.
Did you see it? No, I don't think so either. I think you're talking about the coach from Florida. They won a national championship.
Yeah.
Did you see Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the white Kareem Abdul-Jabbar from Indiana State, is in the transfer portal? His coach left the team at Indiana State and went to coach St. Louis. So the scuttlebutt is that he's going to St. Louis to play basketball. Much better opportunity to make the NCAA tournament. But I would rather 100%. See him go to an Indiana or a Big Ten team, another Big Ten team, even fucking Wisconsin, to be honest with you.
Northwestern had some shooters this year. Nebraska was pretty good this year, which is crazy to think. Fuck football. Nebraska is now a basketball school.
You do what you got to do. Maybe Dylan Raiola will make him a better football team. I don't know.
Play So Rare Fantasy Football, NBA, MLB with tradable player. Customizable fantasy sports picks of your favorite MLB, soccer, and NBA players with purchasable NFTs.
Talk to Alabama about that. Their basketball stadium was built in 1967.
You brought that up, and I was like, there's no way. And I looked it up. I'm like, they have not done renovations, like huge upgrades to a basketball arena in 58, 60 years. Like, that's insanity.
I think so. Honestly, though,
I'm sure they've done some.
So it would be Donovan Mitchell, I believe. I believe Mitchell was his last name. Donovan Mitchell. Or is that the NBA player? Anyways, Donovan. And then Nate Oates from Alabama. And here's the reason for this. From everything we're talking about, too, Nate Oates is recruiting players from the transfer portal to go to Alabama to play in a stadium that's 1967. He's going to make 2/3 more money at Kentucky, and he's going to be in a $30 million stadium that was built in the last 5 years.
Sure, but he's built a program there that's probably, honestly, I think I looked at the preseason top 25. They're top 10 team next year with Nate Oates. So in Kentucky's not. They're top 15, but not top 20.
It's a completely different story. I'm Nate Oates, I'm going to Alabama because I like what I built here. And I'm going to Alabama and I'm going, we got to change this 1967 shit or I'm going to Kentucky. I'm not asking for more money. What's that?
Did you know Nate Oates started his basketball coaching career in Wisconsin at a D3 school? Yeah.
That's cool. But so now if those three don't, right? Jay, Donovan, and Nate, then I wholeheartedly believe Rick Pitino is going to end up with that job.
Jay Wright, I think he's happy just doing the college basketball stuff.
I think Jay Wright's going to stay retired also. I do. Yeah. I agree. Well, today, college is not what it was yesterday. I'm good. But again,
it's got to be tough. That's why a lot of coaches are leaving, honestly.
Right.
And where does Calipari go?
Here's the kicker, though.
Yeah.
I ain't no bitch, so I don't back down for challenges. So why would I? And I know you don't either. So maybe Jay Wright is looking at this as the next opportunity. I've done well here. I'm doing well here. Let me go do well over here. What happens if he doesn't? He's going to make more money than he is on TV. He's a great coach. I think it ultimately boils down to, do you have the energy to embrace the challenge? I got it.
You've got to be kidding me that this What's is that? Even an option. Dan Hurley is on the board for Kentucky.
Dan Hurley is another name I've heard.
Why would you leave UConn to go to Kentucky?
You're going to make 1/3 to maybe 25, 30, 40% more at Kentucky.
That UConn is a basketball. That's all they got.
Sometimes the math doesn't math out loud.
I want to see what he's making right now. Kentucky, absolutely.
I would not be shocked because of the money Kentucky can play. Bro, it's a money-driven world. It's a money-driven world, and I love what I'm doing here. But if I can ensure the longevity of my family's success over there, I'm going over there. I don't think that's a no-brainer. And we see kids leaving in the transfer portal all the time. Before, we saw coaches leaving all the time in scenarios that would completely blow our mind.
That's crazy.
Nick Saban from LSU to Alabama. Who would have thought that was going to happen?
All right. So Calipari's leaving at 8.5. next season. Dan Hurley.
They're saving money. He's not. The buyout isn't necessary with Calipari. Well,
Dan
I guess
Hurley
he's not
is
taking
supposed
it or
to
something.
Make 6.7. So that's only 1. Some million. It's not that much money where I would be like, ah, man. But you've got such a
But if I'm Kentucky, I'm coming to the table with 9.5 to 10.
I don't know. I don't know why you'd leave.
Why not? I'm Kentucky. We haven't had any success since 2018.
You just won two national championships. Why are you going to Kentucky? You just won two. What are you going to Kentucky for?
$4.3 million. $4.3 million reasons.
But you can't tell me after winning two natties, you can't just go to UConn and say match it or I'm gone.
I agree, but UConn can't.
Why wouldn't they be able to?
They can't. They just won two
back-to-back national. They just won back-to-back.
Here's the kicker. I guess the reason I think it's possible is because if I was Connecticut, after the first championship, I would have already wrote this dude a fucking contract that made this conversation we're having not possible. So this falls on UConn's footsteps. If you're coming to me with 4.7 million reasons to leave, I'm taking the 4.7 million reasons to leave.
He did get a contract extension immediately after. He's signed through 2029. So we're
No, because the point we're making is you give him a contract that doesn't allow this conversation to happen. He apparently does not have that contract.
I think a lot of coaches don't want to put that in there just because they don't know what's going to happen, especially with the NIL stuff. I wouldn't. Well, no, I don't know about you. I wouldn't do the same thing.
I tell you what, this is probably why I'm not an athletic director. But there are multiple situations that we're talking about right now that have already happened in the last 6 months, and one of them being the University of Michigan with Jim Harbaugh. The University of Michigan had every opportunity to pay Jim what the Chargers could pay. And Michigan decided to lowball the offer and Harbaugh left. So now here we are in this potentially, possibly, in the same situation where if I'm Kentucky, I'm coming to the door with 9. Okay, you're going to go back to UConn and UConn will go, yeah, we can give you like 9.1, 9.2, and then I'm going to show you 10 and you're coming to Kentucky. And if UConn doesn't step up to the plate at 9, I just saved a milli.
Problem is, that's such greed. You don't need that kind of money to live. That's not, what kind of security is that? That makes no sense.
For people like you and I agree with that comment, but at the same time, if I'm sitting on 6 and I've got the opportunity for 10 and I don't know how long I'm going to be here, I'm going to take the 10.
But I've talked to people I don't want to name names, but I know a few people that make that kind of money. That kind of money, but they live in California and they make that kind of money. And by the time they take taxes out, you're talking about a couple $100,000.
Okay, but hold on now. Specifically, that's California. Kentucky's got a well different tax code.
I think every state, if you...
No, I promise you, 100%. Yes. Yes, you're right. But California is way fucking different, dude. I mean, moons and rivers different than the rest of the fucking country. Close to it is New York, but moons different. Kentucky is nowhere near the taxes
probably neither one of these places is either. Connecticut and freaking...
Oh, God, no, bro. Listen, no, these are glory places. California is completely different. Yes. Yes. On a milli, you still take home 6 figures, but it ain't nowhere near a milli.
Yeah, but all I'm saying is it's greed at the end of the day.
It's frustrating, but this is... But
you can't tell me security, $800,000 is security, when you probably already have made $38 million in your lifetime. That ain't security. That's just greed.
I don't disagree with you, but again, me personally, if I'm sitting in an opportunity with 6, and I don't know how long I'm going to be here, and the door opens for 10, I'm taking 10 if 6 doesn't come up. Because I am that great. I'm not going to lose the 10 in 3 years.
There ain't no way they're paying him 10 and they let Calipari walk at 8.5. He's still... Calipari's price.
Kentucky was mad, dude. I'm telling you, they are. It's a weird world. They haven't won since 2018.
Yeah, but here's the thing. You have to change how you coach. You have to change your culture. You can't have one and done and expect to win. And who's going to... Kentucky will not allow that. They want... The 5 stars don't want to stay. How are they ever going to win if this is the way we think of Kentucky? We think of Kentucky...
Yeah, but Dan Hurley isn't going to do that.
Exactly.
Listen, that was the Calipari way. That wasn't the Kentucky way. That was the Calipari way. Calipari's been there a moon.
Was it? Or was that always Kentucky's way? I always
Listen, Calipari did it first, and he did it better than anyone else. And somebody else.
Kansas did it. Florida did it. All these teams did the one and done with the five stars.
Listen, I'm telling you, it started in Kentucky. That's all I'm saying. Yes, many other teams have done the one and dones after, right? But the best at it was Calipari. And then Krzyzewski figured it out. And fuck, I can't remember the name, and I'm upset that I can't. But there was one other coach, right? Those were the three fucking coaches. I believe
it's not really the one and done. It's just recruiting. Get the best kids. That's all it ever was. Get the best. Get all the five stars and bring them onto a super team. That's all it ever was.
Here's the other kicker too, bro. I got a brand new $30 million fucking basketball facility.
Exactly. It's like,
how does that not recruit? Right. I'm just telling you. If I'm on the other side of this, I don't care what I've done here. I'm looking at a $30 million. Whoa!
Yeah, she's sunny. I should close that.
Jesus fucking wow!
Yeah,
that was terrible.
Where'd that come from? Because I don't have that over here.
No, that's the. You know where that came from? Me being a cheap motherfucker. That's where that came from.
That's a window.
It's a cheap motherfucker.
The window to the world.
No, it was my new camera light, and it's cheap, right. cheap,
right?
Yeah, that that was terrible. It's upsetting. Well, but we've gone through this our whole lives, dude. Before the NIL, this was a norm. A coach that nobody thought was going to do anything rises up the ranks. Somebody retires, and the big school swoops in with big money and steals the coach. And everyone's, oh, what about those players? Now today, those players jump in the transfer portal and follow their coach.
They're not, but Kentucky's not the type of school where if you go in there, they're going to give you 4 or 5 years to succeed. They want it now because they're already pissed at Calipari. It hasn't brought them a championship in, what, 6 years, 7 years? They're mad.
So you got 4 years left on Hurley's contract at $6 million. Hurley, if he gets hired at Kentucky, is not fired in two. He starts getting talked about the hot seat in three, and he'll be gone at the end of four. So instead of making $24 million, you can make $40 million.
In the problem, you can't just build what he did at UConn in 2 years.
Listen. It ultimately comes down to the money. We can't say that Hurley can't do these things. He's just won a championship at UConn back-to-back, first since Florida. He's done all of this in a handful of years. He can absolutely go to Kentucky with the squad Kentucky has and be very successful. I don't think that's a question. Do you?
I do, because they're still the one and done players, unless he recruits different players.
Okay. Hurley isn't going to walk into Kentucky and try coach like Calipari. I don't know where you're feeling that at. I guess
they're still the same kids with the same mentality. We just want to go pro. We don't give a shit about. That's the problem. It's a culture at Kentucky. It's not the players. You got to get rid of that culture. You got to get rid
UConn,
of it.
Listen, hold on. UConn had two graduate starters, two sophomores, and a freshman. So they had two transfers, two sophomores, and a freshman. How many of them come back next year? You're 1.5 done, right?
Yeah, Charles, but you got guys that they just, because they replaced, they just won a natty. They had to replace a bunch of guys. Of course you got freshmen and sophomores.
I'm just saying it's the same fucking thing on every team. He's not going to do anything different in Kentucky than he's not doing at UConn.
You saw, I think, 2 5-stars already left Kentucky after Calipari was pretty much out of there.
Right. So, hold on. What was his name? Cam? Or the Newcastle, right? Newcastle isn't going to hop in the portal and head with his coach if he stays in the NBA or in college.
He probably can go pro. You know, he's college. You just
that's a one and done world, though. How's UConn winning like that? This is what I'm getting at, bro. It's everywhere. If Hurley's doing it in fucking UConn, he could definitely do it at Kentucky. Kentucky is a better basketball school than UConn.
No, they're not.
Just because UConn's won more in the recent past does not mean that Kentucky isn't the better basketball school.
I don't know. They're pretty even as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, so outside of Dan Hurley's last two wins, name a UConn player. The one that comes to mind for me, Kemba Walker. How long ago was that?
Not that long ago.
A moon, bro.
They won a national championship before, not that long ago, before the two that they just won.
We'll pull it up real quick. I have faith in Dan Hurley.
I bet you in the last 10 years, they've won at least three of them. How many has Kentucky won?
I don't know. Look that up. A look at UConn's men's 5 national championship wins. So they had 2, or now they're up to 6. So they had 2 in the last 2 years, and they managed 4 in their entirety before that. Kentucky has more.
Which, yeah. Arguably, though, as a lot of people want to say this, Calipari was cheating.
Say what you want. I don't fucking care.
Everybody agrees that. Everybody agrees with this, that Kentucky was cheating to win a lot of there was a lot of money, a lot of McDonald's bags with cash. Come on, let's just be honest.
Kentucky won before Calipari. They won with Calipari. They're going to win without Calipari.
I doubt that they will without him until they change the culture, because what it is, those players that are there are just players that they see it as
I don't disagree with you, but even
as a funnel
Calipari,
to go to the NBA, that's all
Calipari in his exit interview stated exactly what you're saying right now. So again, what makes
the culture? You can't change the culture.
But that's Calipari in the last 3 years went from one and done's to veterans to a mixture, right? Like, it's not like he wasn't trying that.
The only reason these kids were staying is because they weren't good when they had a couple really bad seasons. You can't go pro if you're averaging 13-5. Like, they do, these kids know what they're, if they're going to get drafted or not. You have a coach that has coached so many NBA players, he can be like, hey, man, you're not ready. And you'd be like, you better respect them, because he's going to tell you whether or not you can play. And I think maybe
really
that
hard
kind of
not
some of them there.
I'm trying really hard not to look at your argument right now as just the old guy in the room, bro. Like, it's the players leave, coaches leave. This is college basketball for the last 20 years. The only difference is players get to freely do it now instead of having to leave for the NBA. I the money's always been there. The greed has always been there. Teams always get fucked. We have these conversations in every single offseason. The culture is never going to change, bro. Look, if that dude won a championship that way, I could win a championship that way.
Well,
you're
the culture
have a bunch
definitely
of people
changed because we watched Michigan win a national championship and they didn't have any fucking NIL money. So
that
the
was a
culture
coach.
Definitely. They call no. That's culture. That's the they literally. The
well, no, no, yeah. Jim
culture.
Harbaugh brought the culture in that
ensued it works,
that. Yes,
if it works in college football, it can work in college basketball. Why can't it?
Fanatic Sports Gear, proudly endorsed by the Boys in the Woods podcast, where the boys shop for all their jerseys and sports cards.
Because it hasn't. That would be the only answer I have. I don't know of anybody that's won a football championship the same way you win a basketball championship. Those recruitings are different. I'm telling you, if you have a $30 million basketball facility, I don't give a fuck what the name on your school is. As a person trying to go pro, I want the best equipment around me. You don't think that's not a recruiting pitch?
Well,
I could go to anyone in the country as Kentucky and get whoever the fuck I want.
It can be a recruiting pitch, but how can you? Why can they not justify why they're not winning then? If that's such a great
That's why Calipari's gone, bro.
Yeah.
Wait,
but it's not always on the coach. The players have to take fucking accountability too. You can't just say it's on the coach, because here's the problem. John Beilein was getting 2- and 3-star basketball players and taking them to the national championships and Final Fours. He could have won a national championship had they made the right call against Louisville. Arguably, he would have had the first national championship the way that you and I have just argued over it.
Okay,
you
but
can't
he doesn't.
Tell me otherwise, he
okay,
doesn't.
I agree with you. I agree with you, but he doesn't. So it doesn't work.
Okay, so he was a shot off of having.
I agree, I agree with you.
To the national,
I think. Okay, arguably the one team that did was Michael Jordan's team, but he still had people like James Worthy and a handful of others who ended up being NBA All-Stars.
Well, those guys are probably still taking money under the bag. I still believe I still believe that LSU, Blue Chips movie had a lot. There's always truth to some of these things. Come on, that Blue Chips movie like really dug in deep to me, like big time back in the day.
I 100% agree with you.
I guess I just don't feel that it's going to change as fast. Everybody thinks that money is just going to, let's get the greatest coach in there and that things are going to change overnight. It ain't going to fucking change overnight. It doesn't happen
Michigan
that way.
Thinks that right now. With FAU's head coach. Literally, that's Michigan's basketball entire environment right now because of the coach we just hired.
Charles, so, you and I both know that we have the most passionate fan base. That's why that is.
Lots of schools have these passionate fan bases.
They're psychopaths, so that's the problem. I don't understand. I don't understand how you can justify this. Like, I love my team. I love them. But like you said, I have to sit down at the end of the day and go, when they lose and I'm like, oh man, yeah. I mean, I saw Purdue lose to Wisconsin and I was like, this team's
that's
win
and that's because they played boring basketball wrong. That you had basketball players who took too many shots. That's a head coaching issue. Again, though, coaching is a really big deal. It's a really big deal.
But here's the thing.
Yes.
You watched UConn all season long, and they did not make those mistakes. And you could tell that, like you said, it was Dan Hurley. It was the coaching aspect. It was the leadership.
So why wouldn't Dan Hurley be able to bring that to Kentucky?
You don't just – because you can't – unless you bring every player from UConn with you, it's not – you have to build that with the players. It's not going to happen immediately.
Okay, so let me try and untangle your comments again. So basically what you're saying is, in the short run – Kentucky isn't going to have success. But let me ask you this. Who's going to win a championship first? Calipari or Kentucky?
Calipari's going to Arkansas. They never went in a championship in Arkansas.
He's got to rebuild the culture. So it would be the same clock as whoever comes into Kentucky. So more or less, Kentucky is going to win a championship before Calipari.
Oh, yeah. They're
if we had to put money on the table right now.
If I had to put money on the table right now, I'd give Kentucky 4 years.
Yeah. In 4 years, Dan Hurley brought two championships to Kentucky, or 5 years. So it would be the same. It'd be the same clock.
Yeah, UConn was a.
It'd be the same fucking clock.
UConn was had an established program before he got Hurley. Kind of got handed
literally just found out that UConn has six championships in the entirety of their life, and two of those. We're just one in the last 2 years. So you spread the other four out, and Kemba Walker won one a handful of years ago. So there's the three in 20 years. So you got to throw the other three in the other 70 years.
Let's also pull this in there. The SEC is a hell of a lot easier to win than the ACC.
Regardless, you still got to go to the NCAA and win it all. Right? Like, you still got to play March Madness. They were still playing March Madness yesterday. It's not like March Madness is new. The only new thing about it is that it's easier to get in now. Before, it was harder to get in.
You're putting way too much faith into a coach, though. That's the problem. How many times have we seen really good coaches go to crappy programs and that they couldn't do it? It's happened many times.
I've seen a million coaches, and that number is tongue-in-cheek, leave one school for another for more money. Period.
Yeah, and it doesn't always work out.
How many times have you seen it? But it does work out. It doesn't always work out, but it does. We hear more that it doesn't work out because of how fat passionate fan bases are. We don't hear as much about the working out. Becky Hammond.
It's a gamble.
Let's see. Of course. But listen, it ain't no gamble. If you're sitting on six and you offer me 10, I'm taking it. Right?
No.
That's me. You, on the other hand, you're gonna sit where you're comfortable. Gamble, I get it.
The gamble's not for Dan Hurley. The gamble is, I'm just saying, I think these fans, because like you said, the chatter is so fucking loud at Michigan, all these teams that are getting new coaches, I feel like people just have these crazy expectations now that there's NIL and all these other places. Yeah, you can want those players, but there's still Duke, Kansas, all these other really good blue blood programs that are going to go after these five stars too. You can't always just get the kids you want. Yeah, right. Can you throw a bunch of money at them? Sure. But like you said, it's
how,
up to
how
the
much
kids.
Did you hear? How much did you hear about Kentucky being upset with Calipari? Realistically,
it wasn't Kentucky.
Calipari leaving Kentucky kind of shock? But again, though, it wasn't Kentucky. Right. And Calipari left Kentucky. Kentucky didn't get rid of Calipari. There'd be a buyout. Right. So Calipari left Kentucky. So there is nothing in that scenario that tells me whoever they hire isn't going to have 5 years because you're going to give them 2 years. You're going to see what happens in the third year. And then you're going to start getting angry or happy in the fourth. That is like the life cycle of coaches.
This is the
Rich Rodriguez in Michigan football.
Speaking of Michigan football, this is the equivalent of what just transpired with Calipari. He literally did not just go somewhere. He went to a rival school. So this is like Jim Harbaugh leaving Michigan and going to what's a decent Big Ten school?
Penn State.
Outside of Penn State. We'll say Penn State because they're like the third best team.
Yeah, it'd be bad. It's This would all, and I hate to say it out loud, to match the names and teams, maybe Wisconsin. But regardless, Penn State or Wisconsin. But don't listen, I'm not on the side. I'm playing middle of the field here. Personally,
there's something weird with him going to staying in the SEC though. If he just left the
school. Oh, no, that is anger. Spite. Yeah, that's personal. That's personal. Right. Absolutely. But Calipari could have went anywhere.
Leave. That's the thing. He didn't have
Calipari
to leave.
Calipari could have went. And he didn't have to leave either.
I guess that's the weirdest part for me, maybe.
That's what I'm saying. There's nothing in this scenario that says if Dan Hurley takes the job, Kentucky isn't going to be wildly successful.
And oh, no,
Dan
Hurley's going to
be
out.
Successful at Kentucky.
I'm not saying they're not going to be successful. I'm saying it's the fans that bother me. The fact that they haven't even gotten a coach yet at Kentucky, but they're clamoring for other people's coaches, other teams' coaches.
And here's just the other reality Kentucky, as well. You know? There's a little bit of history going against UConn right now. How many teams have ever won back-to-back NCAA championships? I've never heard of one.
The last team, UCLA do it?
Maybe UCLA back, what, 80s UCLA or 70s or 80s?
Or was it UCLA or was it UNLV? One of those teams went back-to-back.
Was that like 70s, 80s, 70s, 80s, way early 90s? Not in today's basketball, right?
No, not even close.
If you're going to be, You're going to be rebuilding anyways. Why not do it for more money at a better facility? Every year you're rebuilding. You and I have discussed this multiple times on the NIL. It's not like you're not going to be doing anything different here or there. You're just going to be with a different name in a better facility. I think you would be a fool not to take that. But there is something to
He could have a buyout clause that's really expensive.
Yeah.
Dan Hurley.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Maybe he doesn't want to do that.
But I mean, Kentucky saved a load of money on not having to buy out Calipari. So they got 30 milli.
Free. The fact that they re-signed him 18 hours ago lets me know that they probably tried to secure his ass to keep him there, Dan Hurley. So
they did just re-sign Hurley again?
It was 18 hours ago that this was just posted.
You're cutting in and out right now, dude, and you're lagging. Pause it.
Dan?
What were you saying? Did they just restructure Dan?
It said 18 hours ago he was re-signed or whatever it was.
If you're Kentucky, you're already making these phone calls. This Calipari news is...
Signed an extension through 2029. It says 18 hours ago. So they must not have... Okay. They must not have... Yeah.
Okay, but here's the thing. If you're Kentucky, we're hearing about this Calipari news yesterday, right? Or the day before.
Yeah. And they've been hearing about this for weeks, probably.
For a week. Or a couple weeks. They've been at the table talking. The AD already knew. The moment he was gone, phone calls started to be made. The season's over. You got to get on it. You got to be recruiting. These pieces are going to fall soon. I wouldn't be shocked if Hurley, I don't expect it. That's my personal opinion on it. I mean,
said, they throw them out, and they throw them out now. You've got to fall on it.
Absolutely. And Kentucky can, and they will. But I think my favorite, personally, would be Nate Oates for the Kentucky job. I think that's my favorite.
Honestly, he's probably the one that they could get the easiest and probably wouldn't have to pay the highest.
Outside of Rick Pitino, that'd be an easy call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pitino comes with so much negativity.
I agree, but the fans don't care if he wins, and Rick Pitino can win, and that's upsetting. Yeah. You and I are not Rick Pitino fans, and I hate having to be in the middle on this conversation. I'm just letting the listeners know.
If he does get signed by them, we get to rag on him for fucking forever. So why not?
Yeah,
right?
I'd be just pickled tink.
Absolutely.
Sure. What else do we have to hit on? There was something specific.
Well, we were talking about the Masters.
Oh, the Masters. The Masters. Yeah, let's hit on that real quick.
Well, I can tell you who I was. I just had the list up here. I was looking at the list.
I've been thinking so much about playing golf, I forgot that the Masters was even a thing.
Boys in the Woods merchandise. Get yourself some Boys Podcast swag here at boysinthewoods906.shop.
So I...
Not that I forgot it was a thing. I had it on today. I had to find it on Peacock.
Yeah. I was talking to my buddy, one of the guys at work with. He goes, yeah, I really want Scotty to win or Cam. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, man, I want the dark horse. Yeah. I want the dark horse to win. I want Jon Rahm somehow to freaking come back and win this thing.
Bryson DeChambeau too. That would be funny. Live golf
or Mickelson. What if Mickelson just has one of those short? Yeah. What if Philly just comes in? The old lefty comes in and he just balls out. What if he's 6 or 8 under after the first?
Really good golf over round. In that lift.
Yeah.
He's still playing really good golf.
Are they going to pair Tiger and Phil together?
I guess the one topic on my mind, dude, is why. Are they?
I don't know. I just wondered if they were.
They better be. But bringing up Tiger, too, it's the one thing on my mind. It's. Yeah, I think if it's not in the first day pairing, it depends on play. It depends on where they are and how they play. The world would love a Phil and Tiger matching pairing one more time. Probably not going to see it again.
I love what Tiger did to golf.
Mostly because I think it's time for Tiger Woods to get the hell out of the PGA, come back for the Masters every year. What's that?
I was just wondering, is he just a token? Is he just a token piece at this point?
I don't know, man. I think the competitor that is Tiger Woods is keeping him where he's at right now, but he belongs in the Champions League. I don't understand why he's not there. Age-wise, sure. He's allowed in, right? But age-wise, sure. Ability and talent, sure. Body, no. His body's hurt. His body is broke. Okay?
It's why
you don't see Rory McIlroy jacked anymore. It's why you don't see Bryson DeChambeau jacked anymore. Jon Rahm jacked anymore. Okay, yeah, everybody wanted to be Tiger, but now look. The cool thing about golf is the longevity. It's the fact that you can play from 4 years old all the way until you're 98. And yes, I've golfed with many 98-year-olds who hit the ball straighter than most people I know still. That's the greatest thing about golf. But when your body, at least in the Champions League, you can be riding in the cart, dude. You ain't got the body anymore. Go to the Champions League, ride in the cart, stop smashing your body all season long to be cut or barely make the cut so TV can watch you shoot off on a Saturday and fuck off on a Sunday. Bro, your body ain't in it anymore. Okay, I'm not having sex anymore, and that's what's gonna take me to the top. I'm not sure how that got out. You're not sure how that got out. How many people did you tell?
Everybody. He told everybody.
Jesus Christ. If you don't know how it got out, that means you told more than two people. And
he told everybody.
That a smart guy like you would remember two, so you're telling 5, 6, 10 people? Bro, come on. Stop playing dumb. Well,
the fact that it broke on so many people.
Not having sex leading up to the Masters is not going to win you the Masters.
That's insanity. It broke on so many different news networks. There's no way. There's no way that he didn't tell a bunch of people. Let's see. Let's just go down to the bottom of the leaderboard.
I'm
650-1, Tiger Woods. Put five bones on him to win it?
650-1.
650-1.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Fun. Just throw five on it, right?
All
right. Man, we really
something's going on in my house with the internet. Somebody's downloading something somewhere.
Yeah, it's right. It's time to roll out anyway. We're good to go.
Really, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I agree. Behind.
Strange. Very strange. We can cut it. We got it.
You're going to have to take us out, bro. Yeah, you're going to have to take us out. I'm out.
Stay safe out there. Everybody, welcome your champions.
We love you all. Smile more.